6.22 or Windows 3.1, we would feel really sorry for you. In fact, we would probably give you a computer, wouldn't we? And you know, we upgrade our software, we upgrade our computers, we even upgrade the way we train our children as they get older. And yet so many times when it comes to things in the church, and I think it's because we don't want to change the truth, but we actually end up not changing our systems either. All right? Okay, it got really quiet in here all at once. And that's okay, because these are discussions that we need to have, folks. Upgrading our systems, upgrading. I would contend, and I don't have time to unpack this, but I would contend that if you and I do not get serious about change, we actually end up changing the gospel. And the Pharisees did that. They ended up changing the truth of God's word. Folks, if we don't change, we actually end up changing truth. And that's a serious discussion that we need to have. I know I just raised a whole lot of questions right now, and but you're all pastors. You're all so smart. You can figure this thing out, all right? And I would just love to have discussions. If you want to come up afterward, we'll try to solve it. But we're going to move on. But I really believe we need to have discussions around change. And Jesus brought about a lot of change. He continually talked to his disciples about his crucifixion. He was always preparing them for his death. They didn't even understand this concept of salvation according to death and crucifixion. They didn't get that passage from Isaiah where he was a servant, suffering servant, who would die as a perfect lamb. He was always preparing them for the future, Matthew 23-25. He prepared his disciples for persecution, telling them not to worry about what they would say but depend on the Holy Spirit. Help people to know what to expect. Jesus did that. Number two. You will feel alone, even if others are going through the same change. I think in that activity, even though I put you back to back, I didn't tell you you couldn't help each other, right? But naturally, you just changed on your own. And typically, that's what happens in change, is we think we're the only ones going through it. But we really have to begin to engage with each other and begin to have these insightful conversations. So I would just say structure activities that create involvement, all right? Sometimes it's good to get your team off-site and have some fun activities together, and within that fun environment, those activities, that's where it's good to talk about those difficult things called change. I think I'm going to throw this out there for what it's worth. It's not part of my notes, not part of the material, but this was very insightful for me at seminary. My favorite leadership prof, Dr. Deb Colwell, took her semi-precious stone from around her neck, dangled it out over our table. We were just a few students in the class. And then she walked around this thing, and she said, I want to talk to you about discussion and debate and dialogue. Now, I always thought those words were all kind of the same thing. She said, before we can get the discussion and debate, we need to have dialogue. And what that is where we get into everybody's seat, and we look at this issue from everybody's perspective. Stephen Covey talked about empathic listening. You remember the 7 habits of highly effective people? He talked about how we try to listen empathically, really try to understand. This was so important for me because I think so many times when it comes to these hot debate subjects, we're entrenched, we're already thinking of all the reasons why it won't work before we even listen to what the other person has to say. Stephen Covey said, seek first to understand, then to be understood. And when I saw that enacted for me, that dialogue is where we need to begin, where we really dialogue with each other and try to understand where they're coming from before we go to this discussion and debate, that really cleared a lot of things up for me. Because what you're doing is you're building a high trust environment of respect. And it may come to the place where you say, I agree to disagree agreeably. Brothers and sisters, that should be known among us in the church. And my heart pains me at all the breaks, at all the incredible things done in the name of Christ, supposedly over truth. And when I read John 17 and I see Jesus saying that they might be one, that they might be one, that they might be one, till we all come together 4 times, Jesus is pleading for unity in his church. And it's okay to agree to disagree agreeably. And there might be times where we have to separate folks. But I just want to say, let's be agents of change. Let's listen. Let's create environments of dialogue before we go to debate and discussion where we truly understand each other. That is so key to having effective change. Number three, you will be faced with behaviors that you will have to give up. After the first five changes, many of you started to take some things off. And as you grow as a leader, you're going to discover that there are some behaviors that you have to throw off. You have to give up so you can put on. You have to put off the old man so you can put on the new. You will need to lose some behaviors, and therefore, pray and ask God for help in identifying what needs to be given up. I think when it comes to environments of change in the church, there are some that might be in this aspect or camp or perspective, and then there's these over here. And I think as pastors, we have to become adept. We have to become very skillful at asking both groups or multiple groups to each give up something. And it's very difficult to get people to listen to each other, but we can model that. We can model ourselves a listening. And I think of Covey. My wife and I attended the Seven Habits in Asia. There was a pastor they brought in, the Southern Baptist, we were invited to attend, and it was an amazing conference. And he brought these two people up front. One was a tree hugger type, and another one was a Bambi shooter. So now you know which camp I'm in. Now, I've hunted already too. But to see a tree hugger and a Bambi shooter go at each other, it was phenomenal. And how Covey would separate them and get them to actually listen and to talk and to dialogue was so fascinating. But every time when we get into these high tension moments, we need to ask each side to give up. Each to give up their opinions, their ideas, and to truly listen and respect. All right, number four. You can only handle so much change. When instructed to change five more things, many of your stress levels went straight up, especially at the last one, right? Change 10 more. Some of you are like, no way, Jose, that's it, I'm done. And folks, this is really important. We need to set priorities, go for the long run. People can only handle so much change. And sometimes what you have to do as a leader is wisely look at your trajectory. Where are we going? Jesus did this with the disciples. We're going to watch some videos here where Jesus took him through these steps, step by step, in a process where they could only handle so much, and he kept pushing them. You need to think long term. This is where you need to align with your vision and your values. Remember back in our mission statement? This is where we need to keep people aligned with the vision and the values. And I think that's another reason why we have such a hard time with change, folks, is because we haven't really identified who we are, whose we are, what our values, what our mission, what our purpose, what our picture of the future is. And if we don't get that established first, then we really have nothing to align our people with. And then all at once, change becomes about all these peripheral issues and not about the key thing. Did that make sense? I'm seeing some quizzical looks out there in the audience. The vision and the values, if that is established, we can align with that. And that's where we call people to change, because the values never change, all right? The truth never, never changes. I heard a Mennonite pastor one time say, the ever-changing gospel never changes. Now, I know that sounds like that doesn't make any sense, but he gave two images, and I'll just share them with you very quickly. If you go to the Louvre, if you're into art and you travel to Paris and you would go to the Louvre, you would have the opportunity to see the Mona Lisa. Now, the Mona Lisa is probably the most expensive, probably the most sought-after piece of art ever. In fact, people either have a love or a hate relationship with Mona Lisa. And over time, she has actually been stolen from the Louvre. She's had acid thrown on her, tried to be destroyed. And so today, the Mona Lisa is behind plate glass. I understand there's a pretty big burly guard standing nearby. There's crisscrossing beams of red light, and they are protecting the Mona Lisa. Now, we can have that perspective when it comes to the truth, to the gospel, to whatever it is that we proclaim that we're about. We're going to protect this thing, all right? And then the other image is you can step outside the Louvre into the garden, where you've got a gardener tending these vines. They're organic. They're producing fruit, and they're always changing. But they're producing the essence. The DNA is always the same. And within that context of those two images, my question to us is, what is our picture of the truth and of the gospel? Is it an organic fruit bearing, or is it something that we're always protecting and maintaining a certain tradition? Okay? And so, two images. The truth of the gospel never changes. The fact that Jesus was born of a virgin, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And we can go down this list. We can look at the Apostles' Creed as a very basic starting point and say there are some things that are non-negotiables that never change. But how we flesh that out, how we teach that truth, share that truth, make that truth relevant to our society and to our people without breaking the essence, the DNA of that, to bear fruit. Those are the discussions that I would like to see us have in a more fruitful environment. All right, number five. Number five. You will be concerned that you don't have enough resources, time, money, skills. Okay? I just don't have any more things to change. I don't have any more belts to pull off. You know, some of you could have actually traded some things, right? Here, take my pen, take my belts, hang it off your eye or your nose or whatever. And I've had people do that. My Asian audiences do something different with change, at least some of them. Here in America, we're way too dignified. Excuse me. I need some more water, by the way. Somebody could get me a bottle of water. Excuse me. And what they did is they would contort their bodies. You know, they'd twist up their faces, and it was always interesting. But in America, it's always about these external changes, right? But I didn't really see anybody doing that, kind of passing things around and helping each other change. And we typically, we are concerned with resources. Let me share a quote from Rick Warren on this one. He said that worry is the warning light that you have forgotten that God is with you. Rick Warren says, worry is the warning light that you have forgotten that God is with you. Thank you so much. Worry is the warning light that you've forgotten. So here's a strategy. We need to get creative about how to change our behaviors. And above all, we need to depend on God. I think that change should drive us away from our committee meetings and to our knees instead. We go straight to these meetings, we get heated, we get into this he said, she said, he wants, you want, I want, and we get into all these discussions and debates about our opinions, our preferences, when really what we should be doing is getting on our knees and saying, God, what do you want? What does it look like to have your kingdom come? What's the change that you would seek us to have? And I think when we get together on our knees, instead of around a table, arguing and fighting over change, God begins to align us with his will. It's interesting that in the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to look at this a bit more tomorrow, not the Lord's Prayer, but we're going to give you an acronym for prayer. But in the Lord's Prayer, the first thing is, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And we align ourselves first with him before we begin to say, give us our daily bread. And we're going to look at that a bit further in a suggestion for prayer tomorrow when we get to the habits. So get creative about how to change, and above all, depend on God. Number six, you are at different levels of readiness for change in different areas of your life. As the activity began, there were those who did not like what they were instructed to do. And this is true with change. In some areas of our lives, change comes easy. In other areas, not so easy. So the strategy is identify those areas where change is easy and then look for areas where there's more resistance to change. So customize. Help each person to work in their own area where there's resistance to change. Consider strategies that worked in the past, and I'll just give you a reference there, John chapter 6, 60 to 71, if you want to look that up. Don't judge or label people. And then finally, because we are rapidly running out of time, number seven, that when the pressure's taken off, you will revert to old behaviors, which is exactly what you wanted to do, go back to the way you looked when you came in here, which is probably a good thing. But it's the same true when it comes to implementing change, folks. People want to go back. And they want to tend to go back to the way things always were. They want to point back. I love what Andy Stanley does when they introduce a new change. He says, this is where we're going. This is when the change is going to occur. This is the date before then. And now we're going to answer all your questions. And we're even going to consider whether or not we should make this change. But when this date comes and we have decided that this is the best change to move forward, this is what we're going to do. And we're asking everybody to jump on board. Okay? But until then, we'll work it out, we'll hash it out, we'll look at your concerns, we'll talk about it, but when this moment comes, that's when we're asking for full buy-in, all right? Whether you like it or not, we're asking you to jump on and give it your best shot. okay? A half-baked potato, none of us like it. We need to find ways to keep the pressure on. And this is where personal accountability, this is where we need complete buy-in. And I think that if we have this moment before leading up to the change where we give people time to voice their concerns, to ask their questions, to see if we're really rooted biblically and scripturally on the change, I think that when we have built that trust and that respect, when that moment comes to institute or implement the change, people are going to trust us because they've been listened to, they've been respected, okay? Instead of just being a change agent and jumping into that change unhealthily, folks, give it some time, answer those concerns, and even be willing to say, you know what, it may not be the right change or the timing may not be right, okay? So if you look at it with this the sense of time, William Bridges, one of the books that we took in my change class at seminary, I think it's called Managing Transitions, if you're interested in this, how to manage the transition. Managing the change. That was an excellent resource. Managing Transitions, I believe, by William Bridges. Okay, folks, I do not have time to get into our next session, which is our section of material, which is really looking at the way of the carpenter. We're going to come back tomorrow and do that. And it'll be interesting because we'll have a lot of videos from Jesus working with his disciples. And so I think we're going to wrap it up with that. And I'm going to turn it over here to Lester in just a moment. Again, I just want to point out the two websites. I'll have them back on the back wall in case you forget them. The Ignite Student Leadership, leadlikejesus.com. And my business card is over there on the left. Some of you have been coming up to me saying, Luke, do you do these events? Do you come and share and speak in other environments? And I do. But I want to point out that we have two people here from the CMC that are being trained right now to do Lead Like Jesus. Very proficient communicators and leaders in their own spheres. So Scott and Larry, would you just come up here real quick? I want to introduce you to the rest here. Scott works with young people, have known Scott for quite some time, and Larry is a pastor in, I want to just say Holmes County, Ohio. I just love to say it that way. Did I get it right? That works, okay. So Scott and Larry are both trained in Lead Like Jesus and will be available to do Lead Like Jesus events for all of you here. If you're interested, please talk to them as well. And I'm willing to come as well. I do have a bit of a busy travel schedule, and right now I'm in seminary. So if you're interested, please talk to them. And if you're also interested in getting trained in the future, I'd love to work with you as well on that. But Larry and Scott are going to be available. Thanks so much, gentlemen. So please talk to them as well about doing an event. And we really like to do it in small environments, folks. I just want to throw that out there, that doing it with 25 people, usually at least 25 to make it a good event, but 25 to 50 is really ideal, and not in a sanctuary, but around tables. And if you can give us 8 to 12 hours, even 10 to 12 is really an ideal framework for doing the encounter. We had to modify it for a conference, obviously. But it's just been a delight to be here and present Lead Like Jesus with you. I'll be back tomorrow morning at what time? I can't even remember on the schedule. But you all have it in your schedule. So 9 o'clock, and we'll wrap it up with the two last sessions. Over to you, Lester, and thanks again, and God bless.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Luke. When we were going through our time of change, I was glad to hear that Steve said he's the one responsible for having him here. Wasn't sure where we were going there for a minute, but I really did trust it. Yes, we're going to have you stand up and just stretch a little bit, and John Showalter is going to come up, and we're going to have a little input from RBC. And let you sit back down, and after you've stood up, and RBC is going to have some input.